passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And happy Labor Day. Great to see all of you. And we are back after the weekend. And we hope some of you are enjoying, if not most of you are enjoying, this important holiday. But we have a lot to do, and we hope you'll stick around. We're here for 4 hours, and we may need more time. Let's get to the big story of yesterday. And what a collapse it was. Brian Kelly lamenting for a second half disaster, a total failure, he called it, as the Tigers, many people's pick to make the Final Four, maybe even win it all, got run over in the second half. Brian Kelly.
You've got to play this game for four quarters with a mentality, and we just did not. For some reason, we thought we were somebody else. We thought we were the two-time national champion Georgia Bulldogs or something. I don't know what we thought, but we were mistaken.
Well, that was last night. Saturday in Auburn, there were no tears, no frowns, only cheers after Hugh Freeze's debut was spectacular. Auburn made sure that everybody ate on offense versus UMass. It was a phenomenal beginning to the Hugh Freeze era. And we say hello to the coach right now as the Tigers get ready to make a long trip. Coach, congratulations. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's always a pleasure to join you.
I know there's not much time to reflect, but as it finally occurred on Saturday, you walked into the stadium. What were your thoughts, knowing that you were about to coach the first game back in the SEC?
Yeah, it was fall camp and preparation. You don't get to reflect very much, but that morning was I did some at the hotel, and it was I just was very grateful. I had a grateful spirit and had so many family here, and getting to go down Tiger Walk was phenomenal, and our largest crowd in Jordan-Hare history, and our student section was incredible. And then obviously our team played well and got to celebrate with all our family afterwards and had a house full, and it was a great day.
I bet. Coach, let's talk about the quarterback situation, because that was the buzz during camp, a legitimate battle, and your thoughts after one game.
I thought they both played to their strengths and did what they do well. And, I know that you can't, keep doing just the same things over and over again if you do rotate quarterbacks. So we've got to be smart with that and how that looks from week to week. I'm really uncertain, Paul, truthfully. We'll formulate the best game plan we can for our team. And I've said from the beginning, I think Peyton has the best understanding. He's the most accurate passer we have currently. But Robbie Ashford is, I don't know that I've ever coached an athlete quite as good as he is at this position. And he gives us a chance to win games when he gets his touches. And we've got to figure out week to week what that looks like.
So in terms of the uncertainty, not to get you to blow that up too much, but what exactly are you uncertain about?
Well, I guess the uncertainty is not about them. It's about, can I formulate a plan with our offensive staff where it's not so predictable if you do play two? And that gets a little hairy probably because you want to lean toward, obviously Robbie, I think he can throw it also. And so we've got to make sure that that's part of his packages and we're not just always asking him to run the football. He's extraordinarily gifted at that. But, the teams we're going to play that you know we have to play, that's not going to work if we're not at least balanced when both are in there.
And the next one is California. And, Coach, this is – the fans can look at games like this and go, well, Auburn should be in good shape, but this is a incredibly long trip. How do you prepare? You've done this before, not often, though, to take nearly a cross-country trip.
Yeah, the closest thing that I have to judge it on is a trip to BYU, and this one's even further. So You know, we're going to have to go out a day early, which I'm not real crazy about, truthfully, now, but we didn't know when the game time would be when we had to schedule all the planes and hotels. And now that it's a night game, I kind of wish we were not going until Friday, because that's going to make for a really long Friday and Saturday there. And we've just got to be very careful not to get our kids lethargic, laying around too much. So we've got to plan the days, and our strength staff and nutritionists are doing a good job of giving me input on that as to what they think it should look like. But it is part of the challenge is going out there. I'm thankful we're not in a conference that does that very much. But
this would be just a normal day in a couple of conferences.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's got to be tough on everybody to have to do that. And I want to say this Cal team is scary, man. Offensively, they are talented, and truthfully, Paul, we got by in the UMass game defensively, but we made a lot of mistakes that will bite us if we continue to make them. And Cal will expose us if that's the case, because they are really talented on offense, especially.
Coach Freeze, I realize that in today's world, you can play at 11 o'clock in the morning or at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, but this is particularly late. The game, 9:30 for Auburn time, I'm sure there's never been one that late. On Saturday, it's hard to go to the West Coast without being completely screwed up. How do you keep everybody on a schedule where you modify so they're not up too early and as you said, wearing themselves out before you even get to the stadium?
Yeah, we're going to try to keep them up a little late Thursday night and Friday night, and let them try to get their bodies to sleep in longer on both those days. I don't know that that's the right answer, but we've called around, and again, this is kind of my first time doing this, but there's no way around it. It's going to affect us. It's going to affect us for this game, but even more so, Paul, I'm worried about the return trip through the night, and we'll probably be noon on Sunday getting back to Auburn, and that's our hope. And I just don't know that you regain that night of rest that you lose, and it makes that next week, you know, even scarier for us to prepare. So it takes its toll, and I'm thankful that this is the only one of these we have for a while.
In terms of the preparation on the back end, do you change? I would think you almost have to change. Sunday is long gone, isn't it?
Yeah, we've already made some adjustments on that. Thankfully, you know, we're like most everybody else in this conference and have some very intelligent people in the building, and we've kind of, you know, the assignments that they have for a normal week, we just kind of, they had to, luckily, you know, we knew this in fall camp, and so we had already worked ahead on Cal and just had to add this one game, and now there's a group that will already be game planning game three so that we don't have to do as much Sunday when we get back.
Well, Coach, I'll let you – I realize it's a bizarre week. We won't keep you, but we really are appreciative of your time. And congratulations again to quite a beginning at the as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers.
Well, we're very blessed to be here. Auburn's a great place and great people. And, you know, I think in time we're going to hopefully get it back to being one of those top 10 programs in the country. And we're having fun doing it. So thank you, Paul, for having me in War Eagle.
Well, all the best. Coach Hugh Freeze joining us after a spectacular win, record crowd at Jordan-Hare Stadium. We have a lot to do today. We are jam-packed here for the next 4 hours. We will also include your phone calls. We know there's a lot of people out there who have a few things to say about what happened over the weekend. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Lynn Milroe, wows everybody, 5 TDs and the blowout win over Middle Tennessee. He will start against Texas. How about some non-conference showdowns? Tennessee won, but they were expected to. They were a 29-point win. But in the three competitive matchups where the line was narrow, LSU blown out, Florida run over, tire tracks through Shane Beamer's face. Shane Beamer, what do you got?
You know, we battled back, gave ourselves chances, but, you know, just not good enough. I mean, we got to – do we have any stats? Anybody? kind of the story of the night. Clock was wrong the whole game. We're trying to kick an onside kick to start the second half, and we got to wait on the chain crew because they're eating a hot dog. That's the only disappointing thing about tonight. So I don't know what things came out to be statistically, but not good enough. Colin had our chances.
What were the issues up front on offense?
I don't know. Not good enough. Got to play better. Got to coach better. I mean, we're sliding to somebody, meaning the whole offensive line is sliding to someone that's a threat, and we're still getting hit. I mean, they rushed three on the last drive, and got beat on a double team. I mean, it's ridiculous to give up a sack rushing three people. So that starts with me. We obviously didn't do a good enough job of preparing our guys up front.
Sources tell ESPN that the chain crew had actually finished their hot dog. They were working on the ice cream cones. I don't know, Randy. What did you think? Do you think Shane was a little snarky there, Blake? I mean, the chain crew works hard. They don't make $8 million a year like you do, Shane's. So give them an opportunity to go in the locker room, have a dog, grab whatever free food is in there, and don't blame them for losing. I mean, that's not the Shane Beamer. That's not the Shane train that we all jumped on board. All aboard. Come on, Shane. I am demanding Shane Beamer apologize to that Shane crew, or there will be consequences. Let's talk about what we're doing today. How about this, Trey Harris? Did you hear about what he did for Ole Miss? Three touchdowns in about 3 minutes. Joquavius Marks, running back for State. He had a big game. And Topmeyer, to sum it all up. Your phone calls. Let's begin in Georgia. Cochran's is first up.
Mr. Feinbaum.
Cochran?
Mr. Feinbaum.
Yeah, that's my name, Cochran. You can begin anytime. Begin at some point before the end of the day.
I just wanted to call you and tell you that the Seminole Nation thanks you and all your crew at ESPN and the SEC Network for not giving the Seminoles one chance to win that game. But that was great rat poison. I think the GOAT referred to it as squamish rat poison. I have another favor. I will have a favor to ask you. If you can think of something good to say about Dabo Swinney in the next 19 days, that might motivate my boys to play Clemson a little better.
Well, I've already got some great stuff for that game. Well, you enjoy yourself, Cochran. You sound like you're off and running right now. How about Augie in New Orleans? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Paul, you know I'm not overreactionary. I'm realistic. You know, I never go overboard. Man, it's the first game of the year. But I told you LSU was more like an 8-4 team. I wasn't jumping on that national title bandwagon. You got to admit, I kept it real. And, I mean, this team has regressed. Do you not think they've gone backwards?
No, without a doubt. I mean, that was a completely humiliating performance. And that was the concern. And Augie, I felt like they'd win the game. But I did not pick them to win the West because I remembered the A&M game last year and the Tennessee game. And you know, as good as LSU was at times, they were equally as bad, and they were last night.
Well, and you're right. They finished last year 9-3. But the reality is they could have been 6-6.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Bama on a 2-point conversion. They barely beat Arkansas. And that Auburn game wasn't a runaway. So what is your opinion today of Brian Kelly? Or are you disappointed?
Yeah, I really was. And I didn't like – I mean, at some point in the game, when you're seemingly in control, I'm a big believer in getting something on the board, and they did not do that. And then they didn't do it again, and it really began to boomerang, and I don't know exactly whether that was on their minds, but they were in a position – had they gotten 6 points or maybe 10 out of those two drives as opposed to nothing, they may have been in a better position later in the game, maybe with a bigger lead when FSU outscored them 31-3.
I think there are bigger problems for LSU. I think this team is soft. They were getting beat up. I mean, they were getting beat up. The offensive line, terrible. Defensive line could never get a hold of the quarterback. Our defensive backs, DBU, that is not LSU. We are awful. Now, you got to look at the future, Paul. Our recruiting is way down. People keep talking about these great recruits we're getting. His recruiting is awful. Now, as far as his offensive coordinator, I think if Brian Kelly wants to survive, he better have Dan Mullen on speed dial. I think Mullen could have called a much better game than they called. And as far as the defense goes, I have no idea what they were doing. No idea. They couldn't stop a shadow. The real question is, we saw LSU, but how good do you really think Florida State is? I don't think playing LSU was the great comparator we needed.
Augie, I was very impressed with Florida State. I thought they were fantastic. So, you know, it's one thing to compare yourself. How did you look against Middle Tennessee or Mercer or UMass? It's another thing to compare yourself against LSU with skill position players up and down the lineup and a championship level coach. So I realize you're down. It's been a long day on Bourbon Street, but I don't think anybody had a tougher opponent that we're talking about than FSU. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Senator is in Georgia. Good afternoon.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. So I've got a question about, you know, the game against UT Martin yesterday, Georgia UT Martin. I know Carson Beck was kind of slow on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he might be nervous?
Sure he is. It's his first start. And I mean, I thought Georgia was off in many respects, but you fully expected that. There are a million ways to approach the first game of the season, and you can't often tell by the results either. I know some fan bases are sky high, some are like you are, and until you play the second game, you really can't sort it out. I know as a coach, I'd rather have my team lollygag around the first game if I had a big game the next week, and that way they don't get overconfident, they don't get out of whack, they don't hear everybody talk about this person for Heisman. So I'm not concerned about Georgia primarily because Georgia still has nothing on their schedule for a while. The South Carolina game in 2 weeks is the next opponent. And anybody that believes that's going to be a major showdown, miss South Carolina's first game. I do hope for the Georgia-South Carolina game that the chain crew doesn't upset Shane Beamer with the hot dogs. John is up next. Hello, John.
Yeah, Shane had mayonnaise all over his face, didn't he?
Yeah, not this time.
Anyways, a great show on Friday. I know you worked in the heat and your production crew put together a great guest list, but my hat's off and for working today. I appreciate it. I have not heard, by the way, Georgia's well on to its 12-0 record. It had a staff arrested for speeding and reckless driving.
Yeah, that's nothing like spending the entire offseason saying you're correcting mistakes in that. And then when your liaison to the team from the coaching staff gets pulled over.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I was 2-0 so far in my predictions, and it was easy. Florida State brings back more starters and was a more well-rounded team. Augie's pretty down. I haven't heard him that down since he analyzed the baseball team. Have you?
No, and I mean, Augie's a fan, and you know, end of the bar, throwing his beer mug at the TV.
At that bar that Barney Franks hangs out at,
well,
right?
Well, across the street.
Yeah, I got you. Anyways, I thought we have a new – we lost a Heisman candidate, and we gained one in that game, and we lost a CFP candidate, and we gained one. But I thought the best Heisman performance of the week was Sanderson over in Colorado.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you?
He was fabulous.
And by the way, there is a tight end who has won a Heisman. I happen to know it because I went to school with his son. Leon Hart of Notre Dame. He won three championships at Notre Dame and three championships with the Lions. He was a phenomenal person. So, Paul, can I give you my Gobsmack Award?
Please do.
And I don't want to sound like that person you call loudmouth up north who complains about your guests and callers and SEC and ESPN, but I followed Expire's protocol. I had ribs and barbecue chicken. The neighbors came over, adult beverages. We're all set. And we have Spectrum TV, so you know where I'm going. So at 8 o'clock, the screen goes blank. And they think I didn't pay my bill. We call Spectrum. I have a 10-minute wait, and then the explanation goes up. But I'm not mad at ESPN other than somebody. Could you not do it at the first game at 8 o'clock?
Well, let me I can't explain much, I can assure you. But that is not in that. You know, we're talking about a conflict between Disney, the parent company of ESPN, and
right.
Spectrum Charter. I don't know which one. I guess it's Charter Communications.
It's the old Time Warner, cable system, about $50 million.
I'm dealing with the same thing on my. I don't get Fox because they're having a dispute with my satellite operator. And of course, I'm talking about the Fox, not the Fox News Channel, the Fox Television Network. And I've already missed out on a number of things, including the World Cup. But ultimately, this doesn't look like, this is up to the carrier, not the the television network. And it's a major dispute. It's making national news every day. And it will be most interesting to see a week from tonight when the first NFL game either goes off or does not.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, who's their LSU fan out on the oil platform?
Dwayne.
Would we hear from Dwayne
guarantee
today?
Guarantee you we will not hear from Dwayne today. Guarantee you.
Thanks for working. Thanks for working today, Paul.
Thank you. There are a few guarantees in life. No way we're hearing from Dwayne. We'll take a break. We hope you'll give us a ring. We have more guests coming up. And we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and we are really looking forward to talking to one of the biggest stars in week one of the SEC. I'm sure by now you've all heard about Trey Harris. A number of touchdowns, I think it was four, but he had three in the first 3 minutes and 15 seconds of the game. We go to Oxford right now and say hello to Trey, playing his first game as a Rebel. Trey, you can retire right now, and your jersey will be hanging in the rafters in Oxford. Congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you played at Louisiana Tech last year. You grew up in Lafayette, and you make one of the greatest debuts. And I know that this will get old after a while because I'm sure Coach has assured your team that there's a big game coming up this weekend. But tell us about these first couple of minutes of the game. I mean, most people hadn't even sat down yet. What happened?
Well, we had a good game plan from the get-go, just going out there and we pretty much just executed really well. We knew we had a couple of explosive plays that were on the call sheet, and we executed it really well. And, you know, just after the catch, just I knew that the team wasn't exactly the best at tackling. And so I knew after the catch yards would be where I get a bunch of my yards and where I'd be able to make a bunch of my big plays. So that's all I did out there.
Well, by the way, you win the Nobel Prize for being humble by saying that's all I did out there with four touchdowns and six receptions, and that was just at the beginning, because at some point the coaches had to get other players is in. But let's talk about just leading up to this game and your journey. You played at Tech, a very good football school up in northeast Louisiana, and you made the decision to go to Ole Miss. What led you there?
The biggest decision for me was I wanted to prove on a bigger stage that my talents wasn't just going against subpar talent. I wanted to go to a bigger stage, and you know, SEC is the biggest you could go to. So that was the biggest thing. And then I wanted to play in Lane Kiffin offense. You know, I wanted to score from far, make big plays, be very explosive, you know, do those things that we're always doing. And I wanted to go somewhere where they had an established quarterback, and we have that with Jackson Dart. And you know, being with Jackson, I've grown. We've had our relationship has grown a lot, and we're getting more and more comfortable, and the chemistry is growing even more. I'm pretty sure y'all seen on the field, but That was the biggest thing for me, just going into the portal and making my decision and coming here.
Trey, let's talk about that because we all know in the media, people like me have been talking about that quarterback room for some time, and no one really knew on the outside whether Jackson would end up. So how does it happen? How does it work during the preseason trying to get some continuity? Because I mean, you guys are 3-4 deep in quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, every guy is pretty much given a chance, and you know, every guy is pretty much going, and whoever's going to take the job, that's pretty much all it is whoever's going to perform out there. And you know, I'm comfortable with each guy brings a different skill set, as y'all seen, because we had three different quarterbacks play, and then we even got a young guy in Austin Simmons who might play, you never know yet. But with Jackson, the chemistry clicked right away. He was one of the first guys to hit me up whenever I got in the portal, and he was just, you know, he always was able to, we always be able to connect, even like just on a friendship level. I mean, we have so much in common. So just being able to connect with Jackson and just being able to have a good relationship is huge, especially on the field, because he knows where I want the ball and I know where he wants me to be at on the field. So, and that's pretty much just how it went.
How do those conversations go? Because, I mean, obviously there are plays. Sometimes they are improvised. But in terms of what a receiver is telling a quarterback and then returning to you, I mean, take us inside the science of the chemistry between a quarterback and a top receiver.
A lot of film. That's probably the biggest thing. This past week, we watched countless amount of film. I mean, we're always in the film room together, trying to see what technique the DB is going to be playing, what coverages they're going to be showing. I'm just looking for little tendencies in the defense, and just trying to find the weakness in the defense. That's really the biggest thing. And, you know, on top of that, it's in game as well. If I see something, if I see like a corner's playing a soft press or anything like that, I'm gonna tell them, hey, the back shoulder's open all day. And as y'all seen, that's pretty much what happened on Saturday.
You mentioned Coach Kiffin is the reason, one of the bigger reasons to go to Oxford. Unveil the curtain a little bit for us, because we all know Coach Kiffin. He's glib, he's funny on Twitter, but what's he like to play for, and what makes him so unique?
What makes him unique is everything he does is towards winning. Everything is to be 1-0, regardless in life, in football, it doesn't matter. You want to be the best you can be in whatever you're doing, and that was one of the things he pitched to me whenever I was in the portal, is that he straight up told me, like, look, you come here, I'm gonna make you a first round talent. I'm gonna make you one of the best receivers in the country. And I put all my faith in him, and that's pretty much what he's doing right now.
Well, let's look ahead, because I know there's a lot for you to do to get ready for this week. But many of us watched Tulane last year beat Southern Cal and the top player in the country in the Cotton Bowl. You guys head to New Orleans. You're from Lafayette, which is not that far away from there. Tell us about your anticipation of this weekend.
I'm very excited. The whole team is really excited to be able to play against another really top a ranked team, and, you know, be able to play against some guys that are pretty good. You know, we're not going in there to sugarcoating anything, but like we're going out there and we're gonna play how we play. We'll play fast. We'll get after them. We'll get after the ball. You know, we will do what we got to do out there.
Trey, congratulations again. I hope you exceed what you did in the first couple of minutes of your career. If you do, you'll be headed for New York and the Heisman ceremony. But congratulations. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, what a beginning. Trey Harris joining us off of his spectacular start for the Ole Miss Rebels, heading to Tulane this weekend in New Orleans. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're on Labor Day and time for some more phone calls. Let's get right to it. Billy in Georgia. Billy, go right ahead.
Paul, nice to talk to you for the first time.
Thank you.
I have a question, and it's simple as this. LSU was the same team now as they was 24 hours ago, same players with all the stuff. Why are we not looking at maybe LSU's not a bad team, that they just played a team that was a lot more talented and better? Not that LSU's bad. The other team might have been just that much better.
Well, you may be right.
I mean, look at the weapons.
Couple of things about that. I mean, LSU's many people predicted LSU to make it to the national championship game, so I think there's a letdown. I'll say that LSU season is not over. They're just simply out of mistakes because you can't have a meaningful season with another loss. They'll be out of the playoffs. So that's the worst part of it. But, yeah, do I think Florida State is a superb team? Of course I do. Anyone who doesn't. There were not many games of high caliber schools. That was the only one. That was the only game we had top 10 teams, and the result was pretty bad for them. D is in Chicago. You're on the air. Hello, D.
Yes, sir. First thing I want to say is appreciate you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm 22 years old, from Chicago. My dad was born and raised in Birmingham and Montgomery, Alabama, so I'm a huge Alabama fan. We've been watching you for years. I just want to thank you for taking my call again, sir.
Thank you.
All right, so first off, I want to start off by, assessing Alabama's performance, over the weekend. How do you think, they performed? How do they look? And how do you compare that with Georgia's right now? And, how would you compare them, starting off the season?
Yeah, well, Dee, I don't think the Georgia comparison is possible yet because Georgia is slow walking its way into the season. Alabama did exactly what they needed to do. And I think they go into the Texas game at home, big advantage there, with a lot of momentum. Now, they have a couple of injuries which we don't know about. They have two defensive injuries in the secondary that are problematic if they don't come back. You're playing a team that can score, and that's been the concern about Alabama all year. What happens if they get into a track meet?
Well, I will say this. Nick Saban did have a press conference earlier today. He did say that Malachi Moore and Jalen Key were day-to-day, I believe. Now, I do believe that both of those boys will be suited up for Saturday. However, I do believe that Alabama, whether it be, maybe Earl Little Jr. stepping into one of the spots, maybe Jake Polk gets, a look. Maybe even Tony Mitchell, comes back and gets a look. Either way, I do believe that Alabama has discipline and sound enough defense. And also, just based off the way that Jalen Merrill was playing this weekend, I do think that Tommy Reese has a lot in his playbook that will be able to open up. And I think that we can get into it with Texas. And I believe that our defense is actually solid enough to, actually hold them to about the same amount of points we held them to last year, 19 or 20, I think about the same way.
Dee, to me, the key thing was their quarterback. And the fact that Jalen Milroe played so well, Buckner played well, It gets them into that game without distractions. One thing Nick Saban always preaches, a lot of coaches do, is mental clutter. Just take the distractions out. And now Milroe is beaming with confidence, which could mean great rewards for him. He's never had an opportunity before. He does now. And that could help Alabama win this game, and that would be critical. Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Brad in Florida. Hello, Brad.
Paul, it's time for Tell the Truth Monday, brother. I got my shrimp, I got my onion, and made some etouffee, and then them damn swamp Indians come and they took my lunch. Paul, they took my lunch. I bet some of them Cajuns are missing old Big Ed O now. What do you reckon?
Well, It looked like the end of his career, the way that game was being called last night.
I don't mean to laugh. I got nothing against them Cajuns, but I did take a couple things away from that game. One, number one, FSU is a real deal.
Yes, sir.
They're going to be a problem. But the other thing is that quarterback. What's for LSU? Jaden Daniels, is that his name? Daniels.
Yes.
If they keep playing him, if he keeps playing like that, he's going to get shattered into a million pieces, man. I mean, the dude's a great athlete. There's no doubt he's good. He's got a lot of talent. But he needs to put on 100 pounds if he's going to play like that. I mean, I seen him lowering his shoulder. He didn't – I mean, perfect example to me is the other side, the fella for FSU, Davis. He only ran when he had to. He stayed in the pocket. He got out of bounds. He would slide. But, if that's the way, I don't know if that's Brian Kelly telling him to play like that, but if it is, y'all better stop because he's going to get broken.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Hey, thanks. Coaches can teach that, and I think Jaden will know that by the next important game. Jeff is in Tennessee. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And happy Labor Day to everybody. My question, I guess, is at first I want to know how is Alabama, LSU, which is the black eye on the SEC as of last night, and Clemson ahead of Tennessee when Tennessee beat all three of them. And
well, Jeff, hold on a second. First of all, the poll will be out tomorrow. I think you just have to be patient. Fretting over the preseason poll on Labor Day, I'm not telling you how to live your life, but get over it. Kevin is up next in Texas. Hello, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Gig'em, Paul.
Gig'em.
How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, the Aggies, they did what they were supposed to do this weekend.
They sure did.
I mean, that's the way they were supposed to play. So the reason I called today, I'm not going to talk about my Aggies till next week when we play Miami. Then we'll give them a little praise. Did you see the Dion primetime show in Fort Worth?
Who didn't?
Huh? Man, that was the best thing on TV all weekend.
Well, Dion lives for those moments, and he delivered, and he literally owned the day and the week, and he may own the college football season the way things are going. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's continue. Dustin in Tennessee, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Dustin.
How you doing, man?
We're doing great, thank you.
Brother, I'm a three-year caller. I'm going to give you a heads up on me, Paul, if I haven't talked to you since last year. I called you from Arkansas. I called you from Georgia last year. And, buddy, I'm proud to say I'm back home in Tennessee.
I am so happy to hear that. Thank you for the call. Bill is in. It's Labor Day. I understand. But if the callers are going to be drinking, why can't we? That way, at least... let's get going, Randy. We're behind. Bill is up next. Go right ahead, Bill.
How about you, Paul? This is Bill in the peanut capital of the world.
Wonderful.
And this is a first-time caller and a long-time listener.
Well, thank you very much.
And I have a couple of quick questions. Hunter, the fine running back for the Auburn Tigers, did not play in the ball game this past Saturday. Will he be in action against California this coming Saturday?
I don't think we know the answer to that.
Okay. And the other question, I think another caller may have mentioned this, Paul, but the Alabama injury situation, how does that look?
It's something to keep your eye on. Coach Saban said that those two players, both on the defensive secondary, are day-to-day. I think they'll play, but how effective will they be?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.